You thought that was funny.
Holmberg's morning sickness.
You were laughing like a hyena when he said it.
98.
What the hell is wrong with you?
K-U-K-U-P-D.
Look right across from me, Brady. It's Daryl Hammond, the man of a bajillion voices and known now for the being the voice of Saturday Night Live on top of it all. Welcome back, Daryl. Are you all right? Did you break something?
Yeah, I just can't hear you.
I broke. Toledo fixes Toledo. Thing.
Get
Toledo
him along, girl.
To man. Look at that.
There
look at
go.
That. Isn't that impressive, though? Because if I break something, people are like, fix it yourself. You get a celebrity in here, and for God's sakes, he does one thing, and it's amazing. Now you know how to do it. What's happening over there?
Can
you hear me now?
I want to do the voice that I... Thank you.
All right.
Can I add more volume? Sorry.
There you go.
Picky. Thank you.
We should have tested all this. We'll cut all this out when we air it.
Yeah.
It'll work out perfect.
Okay.
Welcome, Daryl.
Welcome. Okay.
How are you?
I'm pretty goodish.
What does that mean?
I think I picked up I didn't sleep as well as I wanted to last night, but other than that, I'm pretty good.
You're all right.
You're feeling a virus, aren't
well,
you?
Yeah, I think so. Because,
have you brought
you
sickness
know,
into the room?
I was in Colorado Springs a month ago, 8,000 feet above sea level, Pikes Peak, got a chill, and it just, you know, I had these jobs. I needed to be in bed for a couple of days and, you know, never went away, but now I'm going to take a – I happen to love Arizona.
Yeah.
I've been to Tombstone – four times.
Really?
Four.
On purpose?
Yes.
No kidding? Because most people are like lost.
My grandfather was a deputy sheriff. My father was a soldier. One of my best friends, and for a while, you know, when my father was passing, my best friend was ex-FBI, now Secret Service. So I knew cops. I always knew lots of law enforcement dudes and got my life saved by cops, too, twice.
How so?
When I was being stalked at Saturday Night Live.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Did not know that.
I didn't know you were being stalked at Saturday Night Live.
Oh, yeah.
How bad was that? I've had one stalker since I've done this job, 17 years.
And I haven't
one
heard
stalker.
That too often. There was a good stalking.
Well, mine wasn't bad until
yeah, but
she
some
up.
Of them, some of them just, you know, they're crazed. They are crazy. But some of them are not good at stalking.
Right.
You know, some of them get caught really fast and they get tired of it and they go, I'll do something else now.
Yeah,
some of them are career stalkers and they're geniuses at it. And
which one was yours?
Well, my first one had a when they arrested her. There was a shrine in Clinton, Brooklyn. It was pictures of me and Bill Clinton.
Really?
Me as Clinton.
As Clinton with Clinton.
Me as Clinton, then pictures of him.
Oh no!
And the point being that this person could not distinguish the difference.
That's what I had. I had a lady who was talking to someone in her head that she thought was me because she'd listen on the radio. Then she showed up and met me, and said, "You told me last night we were leaving," and she'd seem normal. And I'm like, "What are you talking about?" And she goes, "The car's packed. The kids are in the car. We're ready to go." And I'm like, "What?
Did you?" In the first season, I think it was, is Orange Is the New Black.
Yeah.
One of the inmates has an encounter with a guy in a store. Brief encounter, but in her head, they're getting married.
Yes.
And then she stalks him and
they lock in.
Yeah. And kill him.
That's horrifying.
I mean, like at Rockefeller Center, the whole 16th floor is ex-FBI and ex-NYPD.
It is.
It's a big thing.
Yeah. Okay.
But then when you end up playing a politician, it becomes something even greater.
Wow.
For
That's
instance,
amazing.
The last time I played Trump was a year and a half or two or something like that years ago. And I did the Seth Meyers show.
Right.
And I entered NBC in the same tunnel as the president. Let's think about that for a second.
Yeah.
Now, I can't just walk in the building.
Right.
I was like, you know, my friend goes, "Do you have a security problem?" I'm like, "Maybe a little." She goes, "No, but if it was a little, we could walk in the building like others. These are FBI agents at the dock
that are saying we got to take Daryl Hammond through this door."
I was brought down under the building.
Did you know about it beforehand?
I have spent once I started doing pretty well as Clinton, I started leaving NBC underground.
No kidding.
And coming out on Matt.
Doing the impression of the president begins to make it more dangerous?
Yes.
Is it because people who love him too much think you're making can't differentiate that or
well
or they just don't know you're not him?
That's probably both, but then in some instances, people don't want you to talk. Like, I think there was a poll once, and I saw in, I think, Variety magazine, I forget which magazine, that Americans were getting their news from me and Jon Stewart.
Right.
35% of Americans.
That's crazy.
So there's a lot of effort to scare you into saying something.
Right.
So my first stalker was just, you know, someone who couldn't tell the difference between me and the president. The second one was from Turkey. And a Turkish woman, I'm told by all accounts, quite lovely.
Yeah. Never met her.
No. Oh, she would come to NBC, and by now I had some pretty good friends in the security ranks. So she would come to NBC saying she wanted to see me. I was her uncle. And, of course, my friend Eddie at the time was working security for 30 Rock. And he said, he doesn't have a brother and you have to go. Really, seriously, don't pursue this. It does not end up well.
No.
It doesn't either.
No, no.
It
never.
Really,
no.
Not when those cats.
No.
You know,
no.
People don't think about that. That place has more security, federal agents, plus, you know, the Secret Service with the politicians that come in. I mean, it's really a secure place.
The news
place.
Departments. Yeah. I mean,
it always ends up bad for these people. But in this instance, this was a different kind of stalker because she came back, I think, something like 30 times. And she seemed quite harmless. She was quite friendly.
Right.
She had photos of me. She wanted me to sign. She wanted to see her uncle. And then one day they just said, we're arresting you.
Yeah.
Tomorrow you're getting arrested. So she comes and she gets arrested. They take her down to the police station, and all of her credentials are clever, sophisticated forgeries.
Really?
Fake driver's license, fake social security, fake passport, fake credit card.
Really?
Yeah. So long story short, she's a pro.
Yeah.
Okay. But why?
What was the end game? What was the end game? To meet you?
I think to frighten the hell out of you so that you you can't do your work or don't want to do your work or suddenly shade your comments.
Right.
I mean, I don't think
she wanted Jon Stewart to be the only news that she's getting from, wanted to eliminate you out
of the
equation.
You know what? Who knew?
Yeah. Right.
But to throw you off your game
and
make you listen. I actually, it was my 14th year.
Yeah.
And I retired.
Yeah, you stopped doing it.
I mean, by now I had enough money for my kid to go to college. But when you have a kid and you can't spend $1 million a year on high tech ex Israeli intelligence officers to protect you, like that's
crazy.
How good you're in trouble.
Yeah.
Isn't that nuts?
Yeah.
And no wonder you let Baldwin do it. I let him take it.
And that's the funny thing about it is I had no idea that was happening.
Man.
I moved back from New Orleans. I gave up my home in New Orleans.
Yeah.
Moved to New York City in September. I'd been living there for 5 years.
Yeah.
I had no idea this was going to happen.
None of it. How about that?
That was rough.
That's crazy. Daryl, that's almost depressing. And see, now I think you think it might be us, too, because you were here about, I don't know, 10 or 11 years ago, did our show. We did
the second stalker was happening when I was here the last time. Yes.
Because it's been a long time since you've been here, and we assumed that we said something to piss you off. So yeah.
No.
I always assume it's me.
No.
Somewhere or another, I've done something.
I mean, I went on the air that night as Speaker Hester the day they arrested her. I went, her credentials are fake. She's a pro. And I remember I was going to do Speaker Hester that night, and I didn't. It's the first time I went on the air and couldn't do an impression.
Really?
When there's guys walking around with Glocks?
No kidding. So there's one. What is the audience thinking?
The audience doesn't see them.
Yeah. But you do. You're hyper aware of it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Man.
So do you still hang around the set or do you just voice the intros and stuff?
I live in West Hollywood.
Oh, okay.
And I record from West Hollywood.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's what I do, too.
Yeah.
Far away.
I mean, it is really kind of scary.
It's horrifying.
Because, listen. Most of us, this is why I love cops. We can't protect ourselves.
No.
Even if we could, even if it's against the law to fight fire with their kind of fire.
Yeah.
That's against the law. So we go to jail for that. And then if it's just fisticuffs, I mean, come on. We can't do that.
You think you get beat up most of the time?
You haven't done any training?
I think a Turkish woman would take
me.
So
the bad guys really have an
huge.
If you're going to be a good guy and stay within bounds of the law, then they have a real
a huge upper hand.
Oh my God!
So that's all over. No more of that. All right, good.
No, people like me. Who did I? I mean, they were talking about me on Morning Joe the other day. You know, someone invited me to. You know, and I was very flattered. You know,
that's nice.
Well, that's kind of weird. You're sitting there, And you hear, like, Brian Williams say something. It was sort of Daryl Hammond-esque.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
do you ever get,
I don't have a job, dude. I'm a stand-up again, which is fine.
Yeah.
It's kind of where I want when I first got the show, me and Colin Quinn agreed we would go back to doing stand-up after we did
this
the show.
This is what you want to do.
That's what we do.
Yeah.
That's what
did
I do.
Did you want to do Trump? When you moved back, did you assume when Trump's the big voice, did you
when
want
When I moved
that?
Back, I moved back because I just played him for a year, and, I'd gotten a lot of international attention for it. I moved back because I was expecting to play that part.
No kidding.
Not because I wanted
to. I thought that was your decision.
No.
That was not your decision.
No.
Oh, so when you said you didn't know that was happening, that wasn't the stalker. That was,
no,
the,
that was
the
you,
Trump
yeah,
Baldwin.
Yeah, didn't know the Baldwin.
I had no idea.
The
I
Baldwin
no
idea. Monsoon.
Did it make you mad?
I,
a little bit.
It just destroyed me.
No kidding.
My God.
Yeah, I know it's a big deal, but I figured you'd
this article.
That
check
would,
out that article in the Washington Post. It's pretty intense.
Really? Because I would have figured at your point in your career at that
well,
point,
listen,
I'd been like, look,
you
I
know,
can do
listen,
this anywhere I want.
New Orleans was my dream city.
Right.
I haven't had a lot in my life, and I'm dirt. I come from poor. Come from poor and uneducated. So for me to get the home of my dreams and the city of my dreams and to give that up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
To come back to New York City to play a part.
Yeah.
Because I was told I was.
So how come you still associate with it? The money?
What?
The money?
What?
to do the voices. Or
with
not
SNL.
The voices, but the Don Pardo role.
Why wouldn't I?
Oh, that's what I'm saying. I mean, if you were angry. I'm just trying to figure out if I
I'm not even
I
saying
that.
I'm angry. I'm not even saying
I'm
I was.
I'm not angry, but yeah.
I was
disappointed.
Just rocked. I mean, yeah. I gave up my home.
Yeah. But that would make me angry.
Well, you know, I was in the beginning, but I was more confused than anything else because more than anything that happened to me, and this is the most improbable place on the whole planet, Saturday Night Live.
Oh, yeah.
More than anything I've ever seen, that was the most unexpected and the most I had no idea.
No kidding.
No
That's
idea.
Crazy. I didn't know that. I assumed because you had gained so much recognition for your 14, 15 years on the show that you'd chosen, look, that's enough. I'm going to go do my own thing.
Well, you know, I think that the Daily Beast and some of the other larger media publications named me America's Trump that year.
And Phil Hartman was the first I ever saw do it. And then you did it, and it was like, okay, this is
the
how
next
you do
level.
It. This
so
is
the,
I think ultimately that proved to be my undoing. But now, see, the interesting thing about a place that, you know, you can be catching arrows in the chest and not really know where that came from.
Really?
Don't actually understand it. I heard this story, that story, this story, story. You know, I have always complimented the world leader.
Right.
Before I take a shot at him.
Right.
Because this way we can all enjoy it and realize.
Sure. It's fun.
You know, it's better to talk about, you know, Cheney's golf swing.
Right.
Than to really get into all that, the darker stuff, because I've always thought I was trying to be funny, so and I don't dislike Republicans or dislike Democrats.
Right.
See,
you're
what
just doing the comedy.
Doing the jokes.
Yeah, you're doing the jokes, and there's no reason for you
jokes.
To get your
agenda. The next thing you know, someone from Turkey shows up with fake ID.
Yeah.
Like, what was that all about?
That'd scare the hell out of me.
I mean, they moved me into this place on the Upper West Side that is so safe.
No kidding.
They told me Spider-Man could get in, Carlos the Jackal, or a Navy SEAL. In which case, if those guys want you,
you're done.
Yeah,
you're
put
done.
A ribbon on yourself anyway.
Somebody's coming out of your shower floor.
Yeah. But
tie up the big toe.
Yeah.
That's crazy. I had no idea.
Oh, yeah. What more stuff do you want
Why
to do?
Why do you want to do anything in the public eye at this point?
I don't really. I like to do stand-up.
Yeah. But still, now you're face-to-face with the crazies.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to open that up. But
remember, they're not blaming me for nothing. I ain't on TV no more.
That's true. That's a
but
very good
I will say in Jacksonville, I got a pretty stern warning from the crowd.
What year was that
whole thing started to change? Where all of a sudden, you know, when you're saying I'm doing the jokes and it's funny, but then all of a sudden comedy got to the point, well, now you got to draw a line. Which side are you?
That changed mostly in the past year.
Yeah.
But it was always, you know, listen, there's always political stakes. It's always touchy.
Right. But that's the point of comedy. You hit the lines.
I get it. But it really wasn't until the last year, you know. I've been to maybe 25 American cities this year.
Yeah.
And I have never seen anyone – I haven't seen a whole half a population playing for keeps.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Playing for keeps. Don't want to hear. I mean, people think that was I asked. I'll tell you a story, and then that people said, "Were you offended by it?" But I was in Jacksonville. And so I go. This one time I was in Trump's office, and I heard from the back. I wouldn't. I was like, you know what? I won't.
Really? It stopped you cold?
Yeah.
No kidding.
Sure.
Wow. I guess it. You just don't want to deal with it.
Listen, man. When you got a kid.
Yeah. Well, absolutely. You don't want to deal with it.
I'm not a soldier. My dad was a soldier.
It's not worth it.
We have to have cops and soldiers on account of I can't do it.
Yeah, you told me a story that you couldn't even do a sketch on Saturday Night Live once because they asked you to dance. You're going to fight with some guy in Jacksonville. You made the right choice.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you said there was a sketch on Saturday Night Live. Like they wanted you to dance, and you just kind of stood up there and waved around while all the other guys were doing the moves.
It was so embarrassing. I did a nice Marge shot, but I couldn't dance. But not dance.
Yeah, that would be, that's your, you got to know your limits, right? And the Jacksonville guy in the back with his fist clenched, that's enough.
How much time do we have?
Plenty.
All right.
What do you got?
You dance better than
me. What, do you want to dance for us now? That brought it up. You want to prove me wrong, don't you, Daryl? Daryl Hammond's at the Tempe Improv tonight, Saturday, and Sunday. And if you haven't, everybody knows you at this point. They don't know this about you, though. I don't think a lot of people have known this kind of side of you that is a little bit.
What?
Just the fact that you assume it's a happy, carefree, fun comedian's life where you're out there doing voice. You don't know you got a Turkish hitman just hanging around the outside of 30 Rock the whole time.
Well, you know what? When the bad guy wants to kill you, he gets one chance. He gets to have his chance. I mean, look, unless you have high-tech security around you all the time, the guy gets a shot.
Wow.
You know? So you have – I have these ex-NYPD ex – I had NYPD working the current case. I had ex-FBI helping me find the right building to live in. You know, and they're tough guys.
Yeah.
I'm not a tough guy. I don't even know how to throw a punch. I don't even know.
Don't tell people that, Daryl.
Yeah.
No, Daryl, you've been training in Krav Maga. You're well defended. You can defend yourself in any situation. Please don't give them any ideas.
That's okay.
You speak six languages.
You're covered.
I work for a guy who's got a lot of tough guys.
Okay.
They do it.
You got a guy.
They're good at that stuff.
Well, that's a better threat. I like that better than you having to fight. I'll hire a guy to kick your ass.
30 Rock again. Yeah. Here we go again, fellas. Remember the Turkish girl? All right.
I need the
chopper.
Man. Yeah, get me the chopper.
Do you feel like you've gotten a little paranoid?
Huh?
Do you feel a little paranoid to a certain extent?
I want to say this again. If you have a kid.
That's true, yeah. I guess
it's not just about you.
Yeah, that's true. I don't have kids for that reason.
It's not like the old mafia where they only hurt the person they were in conflict with.
They're getting everybody.
Whole new thing now.
Yeah.
Innocence, though, too. You know?
I got bring in the family.
I get a vasectomy in February, and I take boxing lessons. I've taken the opposite approach. No kids, and I'll fight. I'll fight my way out of anything.
Wait, do you have kids?
No, I don't.
I have a daughter.
Oh, yeah?
He's got a daughter. It's not mine, though.
So what happens if
I'm the dad.
If a pro hitman from the Middle East comes over and wants to take you out, you think about it, don't you?
Oh, yeah. You think about it. I think about breaking.
Do you got an extra mil cash?
No.
To have these people around you, these high-tech people around you?
No.
Yeah, that's why I took boxing lessons.
My computer at home, I had a forensic expert come over. This is an article came out in the Washington Post 2 months ago or so. And it's my computer, I had it shut down. I had a guy come over from Coach, the luggage company that I knew that was a forensics expert. And he comes up, looks at my computer. He's like, man, you got a lot of spyware in your computer. A lot of spyware. It's a malware. And I'm like, what is spyware? Well, they're going to steal. They're going to spy. Usually they're going to spy so they can steal. Has anyone stole anything? I'm like,
this is the luggage guy?
I
was going to say that's an impressive resume. He's a luggage and he's a computer expert. It's like a movie.
No. He's not a luggage guy. Oh. He is a forensics computer expert.
For coach.
They employ him full time.
He's just a dude showing you luggage. Yeah. I'm like, Jesus, this guy's a genius.
So I'm like, who would be spying on me? I go, it's not the government, right? And he goes, why would the government spy when they can pull up outside your house and listen through the wall?
Wow.
I'm like, they can listen to the wall. I mean, I'm glad they can, but just in case there's a bad guy in here. But
And now they're listening to you.
All my failed attempts, and I hope no more hurt with women. And, you know, come on.
All really. The striking out that's going on all in Daryl Hammond's house.
The swings and the misses, you guys.
Yeah. There's a government agent just getting
they heard it.
And it'll all come out on you now. That's the worst part.
He goes, yeah, man, you think they're going to mess around with no bull, you know, the whole word, no bull. Why would they do that? How would they want with a small fry like you?
You never know.
That's kind of what he was saying.
Right.
I was like, well, okay. The point being that I don't have, can't have a full-time computer expert. Yeah. I can't have a full-time cyber expert, a full-time.
You're just hoping the computer doesn't have a bunch of malware and spyware.
Well, I guess they can really, they spy on you to see if you have enough money to steal and then.
Figure out ways to steal it.
And then they take it all out of your bank account and then there's ransomware where you pay them to get it back.
Wow.
That's what he said the latest thing was. So, yeah.
Yikes. I wouldn't go back on the road, but I'm glad you are.
Huh?
I'm glad you're back on the road. It's good that you're braving the elements.
I'm not going to do as many next year because the airports are upsetting to me now.
Why are they upsetting?
Too
much security? What are you carrying? Are you mewing things? Why are you so worried?
Spit it out.
I remember I checked the bag in L.A. and goes, what's in that bag? I'm like, why don't you look in that bag and get bored? Get real bored. I mean, I was driving down the New Jersey Garden State Parkway once. I guess I was driving kind of slow.
Right.
And I got pulled over by a new state trooper. And the fact was I was looking at a magazine I had just bought.
And driving?
While I was
Soldier driving. Of Fortune.
So he's like, why are you driving 31? I was like, I just got this.
I was reading, sir.
I was looking. I'm sorry. And it was really kind of embarrassing because this is sort of my reading taste. It was Time Magazine, Smithsonian, and Jugs.
And they were all three open?
They were just laying on the seat.
Yeah, it's like a really intellectual teenager's Florida masterpiece.
Joker.
And Jugs.
Yeah.
You know, the guy's like, I don't think I've seen that one.
Yeah, it's like a future Supreme Court Justice.
Miss March.
Miss March.
Yeah, just step on it a little bit. All right, pal. Yeah, I liked her toe.
That's pretty solid. Daryl Hammond's at the 10 p.m. Prov. But you're here. You're known for all the voice work that you do and everything else. And you were here last time we do our little Hollywood Squares game, and you played with us.
Was that one?
10 years ago.
I had just done McCain.
You'd started doing McCain. Yep.
Yeah.
It was right about that time you'd started bringing McCain into the picture. And we were losing Bush. So it was right during all that stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, but you were here. And that's why I assumed after that you just didn't ever want to deal with us again. It was 10 years later. We'd never seen you again. We thought we had fun and off went. Maybe you were worried about us.
No, I was retired living in New Orleans when I got brought back to New York to do Trump.
Man.
Got it? You following?
Yeah. I'm on it now. I'm on it now.
Yeah.
You were done until you weren't done.
Yeah.
Then you were done.
I mean, I was one of these guys sitting on my balcony in the French Quarter. You know, the wind. You've been in the French Quarter?
Oh, mint juleps.
Yeah. I mean, the saxophone, the whole everything
the
that you think it is. And it's, you know, New Orleans, in the sugar on your ice cream, if that's what you like. You know, there's it really.
That sounds like a song.
So I'm there like, and you know, people are like, well, you're not working. Does that bother you? And I'm like.
No. See, people say that.
I think I'll take another nap.
Yeah, isn't it the best?
Like second nap.
You get double naps in a day?
Because you guys are probably the same. You're working 60 hours, 40. I mean, you're working like.
No way.
You're really not now, baby. Yeah.
No, we're working.
Maybe at one point.
Sure. Oh, yeah, no, I know what it's like to work, but you get into a certain point.
Yeah, because
like,
someone said to me, hey, how do you get a cush job like, you know, recording in a sound studio in West Hollywood for good money? I'm like, do you know that? I mean, it's a long.
It took a long time to get that cush gig.
Oh, my man.
Yeah, you did some time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Getting booed off stage by kids.
Tell me that
story.
Get out
of
here.
That
didn't happen.
Oh,
what are you performing for children for?
I don't know. This is when I was first starting out, and the club owners were wanting to be managers. This is in Orlando, and they booked me for a convention. A convention.
Sure.
In Daytona Beach, $5,000. It seemed
like
a dream job.
That's nice.
Remind me to tell you about the Elvis gig in Vegas,
my
first Vegas gig. So I'm getting ready to go out there, and I'm pumped, man. My first convention band, I'm pumped. Right? I walk out. It's all 10-year-olds and their moms.
They just told you it's a convention. But they
and I turned and looked off stage to the promoter, and I was like, wait, me and
I'm in the wrong room.
Do you hear my act? Do you hear all my butt plug material?
Yeah, now you have to change everything.
Like, oh, my God.
No, you don't.
So anyway, last night my wife stuck a thermometer, you know, she was caring
she
for me.
She had a temperature.
You know, I at the time I was doing a
And they booed you because they wanted the butt plug stuff. These kids were fans.
They wanted butt pluggery.
Yeah, they didn't, and you took it away.
Yeah, and when I wrote the book, God, if you're not up there, I'm blanked. I went to Monroe, Louisiana in the Bible Belt to sell that, and they also wanted – I didn't sign any of my copies of my book. I signed 50 copies of 50 Shades of Grey.
Yeah, they wanted it.
I was like, wait, the Overcoming All Odds book is not going to fly here. Well, you have both words in the same sentence. Yeah, you have God, and you have the other. I'm like – and
they didn't like it because it had God in the F word?
And you've got a manual – chock full of ball gags.
Yes.
She's like, yes. So that's on your coffee table, but not me.
Because the F word's on it with God.
You want me to sign a gimp mask?
It's too close. There's not enough commas and periods.
I'm trying to cram in too much at the same time. What's the topic now?
Yeah, I mean, you're
offending the jugs. The flopping at the convention.
Jugs, ball gags.
Oh, yeah. I was doing, at the time, I was doing Don Knotts. This is how hacky I was. My first year of comedy, I was the biggest hack, but I was pretty good impressions.
Right.
So I was doing, hey, what happens if they take the Ayatollah down to so-and-so, and where a certain wiry deputy might have something to Well, well, well. So we're going to have company. Well, I'll tell you something. He's going to think he's in. I forget what it was. So I was going to go into it, but it has Barney Fife saying hell.
And little did you know, a young Craig.
Gas. No. Yeah, stole the whole thing. Oh, no. Sorry.
Ooh. Craig Shoemaker.
Oh, Shoemaker.
Is in the audience, 10 years old.
Why? Because he does that?
He does Don Knotts all the time.
Oh, okay.
Still.
Great.
You did that.
I love him at that. I saw him at an AA meeting recently. We're on the same spiritual.
You're not supposed to say that.
On the same spiritual journey.
That's the whole point of the anonymous part.
No, but that's why it's not true.
Oh, right? I see. Yeah, of course.
Because I made it up. No, he's a nice guy. I like him a lot. I want him to be king and pope.
Oh, yeah, that's proof.
That's how much I like that guy.
Yeah.
Well, well. So we're going to have company.
What impression do you do that you can't do anymore because the time is lost that you loved doing? Like Don Knotts is a fun one.
I would say, I don't know, Coppel, Donahue?
Donahue. You did that. That was the best.
My
Donahue
dad's never stopped his Gabby Hayes.
Yeah, yeah. You know? Brady's dad's in his 80s. He still breaks out. We're sitting on a gold mine. You're like, all right, we get it.
I was a pretty good Gabby Hayes.
Yeah, I do a decent good. I got Gabby.
Punch on it. That was really. Come on, can you say consarnet?
Consarnet. I'm sitting on a gold mine. I learned it from his dad.
Do you do it too?
No.
Just me.
It's a whole bunch of
consarnet.
It's like a legion. You guys, do you know Wyatt Earp and Doc Holliday rode past that mountain on the way?
No idea. Did they mention
Camelback?
It? Was it called Camelback then?
Huh?
It wasn't, was it?
Is that Camelback?
That's Camelback Mountain, Daryl. Well, then you didn't know what you were talking about.
No. I looked all day yesterday. I looked on the plane. I couldn't find Camelback. No, I'm very fond of
it's right
Camelback.
There.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's these are the Papagos.
Yeah, Papagos. Right? Nobody cares about that. The camel is the one.
They could have...
No, it really looks like a camel. I was trying to tell her. I was like, no, it really looks like a camel. She's like, I can't say it.
It's laying down. I mean, nobody ever tells you that the camel is laying down.
That's the point.
That's the problem. The camel is lazy.
I love that mountain.
Yeah, it's a beautiful mountain. And evidently Doc Holliday loved it, too. I didn't know that.
Doc, they did. They were on their way to Tucson.
You think they took that route?
I do. I think they figured they took right past Camelback.
They took the 10, which would be south.
I mean, they took Shea Boulevard.
What are they doing up on the 202?
Wait,
that's
did
Weinberg
pave the way for the 10, too? Aside from paving the way for American justice, also the 10.
And the 10.
And the 10.
Coast to coast, my friend. It's a little known fact people don't pay attention to.
So we're going to have company. I haven't done that in a long time.
Do you have an impression you do that no one knows? That's like something you wish you could
do? Al Sharpton?
Sharpton's so great. But people know Sharpton.
But do they – oh, that no one knows.
No, not that they don't know him, but it's like it's kind of a wasted one. It's either you got it too late or it's one of those that comes
along. There was a detective who came in to tell us gave us an instructional speech when we first got on SNL about women. Uh-huh. And what
– for HR purposes?
No, he's basically telling you you're famous.
Right.
Some people out there – are going to try to blackmail you and set you up.
Oh, wow.
But he had this.
It's like the rookie symposium.
Yeah. The wonderful voice. It was just like, well, I guess I'll have to go through this one more time. All right. Here we go. The good news is that you can't cuss on this show, right?
Well, you can. It depends on how hard you're going to go. Oh, yeah. We'll go ahead and go with that.
The good news is now that you're on TV, there's going to be a lot of pussy. Free pussy. The bad news is there's no such thing as free pussy. Pussy is expensive. $500 an hour, you're getting off easy.
Cats, right?
He says, cats. Well, listen to this. This is the one that I didn't listen to.
Uh-oh.
He said, when a 25-year-old woman.
It's Morgan Freeman.
Is it?
It kind of. It's
yeah,
real close.
It really is.
A 25-year-old woman wants to make love to a 50-year-old man 30 seconds after they meet. Mother Nature will not endorse that plan. There's something wrong. He said we had testosterone poisoning.
It is.
Like testosterone. I'm like, what is testosterone poison? Testosterone poison, you like to act the fool.
And
you like
hired
to believe
on.
Things that aren't true. All your life, nobody and a woman ever look at you. Now they're looking at you. You think, they finally caught up with me. They finally caught up and discovered the stud that I am, and that's all wrong.
Lies.
You're still the same loser. Just watch if you lose that contract.
This guy needs to be on TV every day.
He was so
He's
great.
Giving advice.
What was that? It was this brilliant thing he said. Testosterone. What is testosterone poisoning? He says, well. Huh? Oh, wait. He goes. I've told him the story a million times. He goes, in the last 20 years, 15 men have been killed by a vending machine. That's 15.
Right.
How many women do you think have been killed by a vending machine? That would be nary a one. Now, but do you understand that killed by a vending machine? They're drunk
yes.
in a bar. They're getting personal with the vending
yeah.
machine, and it falls on
yeah.
them.
Yeah.
And it kills them.
In 20 years.
Right. Women, never. Goes, and you know what I say to that? They're not strong enough to pull that vending machine down, show them who's boss.
He goes, how come? He's like, you watch a women's softball game? Why don't they all paw on the field and start slugging each other? That's because you break your knuckles, can't play the game no more. Can't support the cheering no more. Do you like this guy?
He was smooth.
I love this guy.
Oh,
I like
yeah.
Cheering.
I can listen to
Anytime
him.
I hear children, I'm in on that.
The main, just the smartest guy yeah. ever.
And you didn't take his advice, you said.
No. It was sage
advice. You hear it, you
well,
memorize
I would go,
it.
Well, I would go out with these women, and they would think there would be something like Clinton about me.
Yeah.
And they like, they went out with me because I played him.
Right. Did you find that they were
Do you want me to tell you the foot fetish?
Yes.
Can you say...
Sure. I can say that all the time. Are you? Wait a minute.
On the air?
Just had yeah. a Matt Lauer moment.
Whisper it on the mic.
Yeah. Yeah. I can say it.
I had a woman, sorry, come up to me that, sorry, I wouldn't have hit on in ever.
Right.
No, I wouldn't even think yeah. about it. But, you know, you just look at them and you don't care if they know you're looking at them. You're
right.
like, I'm sorry, I've never seen anyone like you. And
right.
I'm going to stare.
She was.
She comes
unique.
Up to me at the Comedy Cellar. I mean, she was that hot. I
right.
mean, think of your hottest.
Oh, yeah, and just multiply it.
Okay. And she starts talking to me. I'm trying to get my nasal spray. She starts talking to me about the miracle, the minimal elegance, the lyrical swoon.
Ooh.
With the way I play Bill Clinton.
Nice.
And I thought she was an English teacher, so I said, "Are you an English teacher?" She said, "No, I'm a fetishist."
Ooh.
I said, a fetishist?
Hmm.
What is that? She said, well, I jerk dudes off with my feet. And, you know, I responded as if she said, I sell aluminum siding. And I went, really? Really? Do you? Yeah. Yeah. Happy endings.
Did that guy in your head go, now, Daryl, you know.
Oh, wait a minute. Wait. Here's the best part.
Testosterone poisoning. Yeah,
yeah,
started
testosterone
kicking
poisoning
in.
Now.
Here's the best part of the speech.
Keep your shoes on.
Best part of the speech was when I went, do you give this speech to women? He goes, I don't need to. Women don't normally act a fool. Not on their own. They don't believe some.
So let me ask you this. Was she a fetishist, and was it worth every cent?
Well, she said to me, she offered me a freebie.
Really? Yeah. Of course you took that.
Would you like me to hang 10?
I'd already had 2 death threats by now.
Yeah. Oh, so you're
Wait,
a little bit nervous.
Wait, can I tell you my
I'll listen to your stories
story.
All day, I think, Daryl. Yeah. They're
I'm
getting
tell
better
you my New Orleans transgender story.
Well, is the foot fetish story over?
Well, no, she said to me, yes, I do. And she told me that she made quite a bit of money. She had a degree in English, and she would go up on Fifth Avenue and do these dudes and talk about things.
And she's stunning.
Stunning.
No kidding.
Sick stunning.
No
crazy
kidding.
Stunning.
But unbelievable foot skills.
Good with the feet.
Yeah.
She says, this is my 4th and 10. I'm going to punt.
Good with the lower digits, babe.
Did you notice?
So she said, you know, yes.
Were her finger toes in play?
I didn't look. You just spatulate.
Yeah. Toes. Yeah, I guess. Were they different in any sort of way that we should look in the future?
She said
gel nails.
She's
dead.
Testosterone poison.
Right. We got tons of it. See, we got it because we're curious about her now.
Yeah. She said, yes, I do make a good living at that. And by the way, you wouldn't be interested in a freebie, would you? Oh, I went, free? I didn't know.
You didn't do it.
Well,
see,
I tell you, the last time I was here, I think I told you about the co-ed that wanted to flash me.
No. I've forgotten.
Is Clinton?
No. You get that all the time, though, right?
Not anymore.
Do Clinton, do Trump. I get that. I do impressions, and I get it at our stupid shows. We're like, if
no,
you do
no
this,
one,
my wife
no
will
one
melt.
Offers to flash me anymore. But,
oh, that stinks.
We'll change that this weekend.
We'll change that
this weekend.
Tempe.
Well, listen, Camelback Mountain is in full view. Camelback Mountain. You know, I woke up this morning about 5 a.m. No, I'm kidding. All right. So, the flash story or the colonoscopy?
Wow.
Or the transgender New Orleans?
Oh, transgender New Orleans.
How much time?
Just enough for one more. Pick the best one. Or stay until tomorrow.
All right. You know what? Let me do the Clinton because people won't like that.
Okay.
They'll probably like that story.
Okay.
First of all, how do you know when you've had too much Jaeger? Well, I spent a year on this. When you're having such a hard time finding your way home, you have to park across the street from Domino's, order a pizza to your house, and then follow their truck. Now, wait. I know what you're saying. You go, you know, that is kind of clever.
Yeah.
Did you think of that? And I was like, no, I didn't. But a hooker named Chloe did. I was in Des Moines trying to find – I couldn't find my hotel, and I was on the Jaeger. I was drinking Jaeger. I call it the Jaeger.
Yeah, you get that close to it.
I did, because I would drink that I would fantasize I was playing third base. I was really in real time. I was so – because it has like a little wormwood or something.
Right.
That was the kind of high I was into. Like, I want to believe I'm the Yankees third base.
Right.
Do you have something for that?
Right.
That's what I would go to the liquor store and go, I want new parents. I want a slimmer frame. I'd like to be a little taller.
Right.
And I want to play third.
What's the elixir?
Jaeger.
Jaeger is the best. Okay. So, Chloe said, there's a Domino's over there. What if we call them? We could order a pizza.
She's with you.
To the window and follow. I said, Chloe, there is so much more to you.
You care.
He didn't mention she was actually with you.
That dental dam you're trying to sell me on. Come on. You're smart. You know you are. So, all right. So, but I was depressed. I was in need of Jaeger and Chloe.
The Jaeger.
Because of something that had happened earlier that evening. It was either Iowa or Iowa State. I forget what – it was one of those incredible, Midwest schools that is always on TV for something.
Right.
And I was walking back to my show, and I guess a co-ed follows me to the car and says, pay attention. Are we on camera?
No.
Oh, sorry.
Is that bad?
No. This is one of these people that when they look at you, they talk above your head.
But they look over you.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean,
looking at the sky for no reason.
Yeah, all right. Yeah. So she comes up to me and she says, Mr. Hammond, I'll so show you my titties.
We can't say that. Imagine that. That's the only
boobies.
One we can say. Boobs.
Mr. Hammond, I'll so show you my boobies. If you want to talk about her. I was like,
you do impressions of the co-ed.
What? I knew what she said, but you know, right. I want to hear that
right.
again.
I want to hear it twice.
I will put my top and flash my chest. I said, young lady, that's so sick. That is so sick. You're sick. You're ill. And I wish I were a better person, but no one ever offered to flash me.
No.
Never missed a show in Des Moines after that.
Yeah, I had a guy tell me his wife would do it. If I can't remember who the voice he wanted was, but it was I forgot what it was. But
Bush. Really, you do a great Bush.
No, thank you.
Do it. Let's hear it. You even made a tape for me once.
Well, yeah. I didn't know about that. You asked him to give you a tape of me.
I still have that in my apartment
really?
In New York.
I'm sorry for that.
Listen, it was so good. I was thinking to myself, that is actually an example of how I would, if I were doing Bush, what I would like.
Really?
To sound. Wow. Do it.
She asked me if I could. If her husband could come over there and introduce his wife's breast to me, and I told her I would do that for her, and then the woman came over, I'm like, I'm not gonna do Bush for you. That's not gonna happen because your wife is horrible looking.
It's wonderful. It is a decimal for what do they call that on the radar? Anyway, the sonar would pick that up. It's almost the same.
Thank
thing.
You. Wow. Well, but, it almost got me some giant lady's breasts.
And then what happened?
I said no.
Why?
Because I wanted we were in public.
Oh wait!
And I didn't want to embarrass
her. Dude,
she was,
and
big.
Her husband was right
was
there. And he's like, "If you do Bush, you'll show them cans." And I'm like, "I'm not going to do that."
So you're like, "All right, you're a Tempe outreach trauma program, right?
Right.
You were part of the trauma plan at Arizona Hospital.
That's exactly it. Yeah.
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 She came up, Mr. Halberg.
Yeah.
I just remember Bush walking up to people and talking to people, going, "I appreciate your hard work." And then I thought, I like that dude in.
In Phoenix.
Where are we now?
We're Phoenix? In Phoenix right now. You're in Phoenix,
Phoenix.
You'll get it. It's the camel. That should remind you. That's the landmark, Daryl.
I appreciate your hard work.
I appreciate your hard work.
Perfect.
Thank you. You got to do one for me, though, because the Jesse Jackson is the greatest impression I think I've ever heard.
No Al Sharpton? You want
Your Al Sharpton is off the charts, but people know the Jesse Jackson top to bottom. So if you do both, have a conversation.
Yeah, they collaborated.
Well, you remember when he was going to go to see the Taliban, Jesse.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Do you remember this one?
I know you're
gonna say. This is true.
Yeah.
Because he said that they called him. And then for some reason, a friend of his came on television and said, no, Jesse didn't call them. Jesse actually called them. And so it was like.
He rang up the Taliban.
Yeah. They got a direct
call. He's on TV. He's like, I did not contact the Taliban. They, in fact, contacted me. What happened with this? I had a hang up on my machine. So I saw 69. And a voice said, who did? I said, who did? You called her. I said, no, I saw 69 you. At first I thought it was my friend Gary playing a practical joke, jibbity jibbity, and rat a tat tat. But the voice on the end started going, akabaka, akabaka, akabaka. That's how I knew it was the Taliban.
It was real.
That's perfect.
I did not make batters when I said, come, Mr. Taliban. Look, it's been 20 years, you guys. I dredged that up for you.
I know, but that's one of my favorites ever.
Sharpton.
And give us Sharpton on the way out. Give us words of wisdom as Al Sharpton as Daryl Hammond leaves the room.
Well, you know, when I was a kid, I would come home from school. My mother would make blueberry pie. And I would come over, I'd sneak a little piece of pie. She would tell me, hey, you sneak pie. And no, I did not sneak pie. But I would have blueberry pie all over my face. That's how I feel about the Republican Party. They said, no, we didn't ruin the economy. We weren't even there. But they got blueberry pie all over the face.
Oh, man. Right. Daryl Hammond, I could listen to you all day long. All right. It's Daryl Hammond at the Tempe Improv tonight, tomorrow, and Sunday. If you want to go, you go to tempeimprov.com or call him 480-921-9877. Thank you, as usual, sir. Brilliant, as
It was
usual.
Just as great last time.
I think so. We'll see you in 10 years.
And I still have that tape.
Yeah. Get a better tape. There's got to be better ones.
No, you did. You really, you right? did. You did a lot.
All right. Well, thank you. I'll send you a whole reel. You get a whole bunch of them. It's Daryl Hammond, everybody. It's 98.
Station identification.
KUPD, Arizona's most powerful.